This is CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo.
Folks, we are live on Facebook. We are live on the radio. We are live on Rogers Digital 946 in studio with Kevin. Good afternoon. It is 12:30 and we are very excited here. We have the Butters family with me. I have a prepared statement I'm going to read first. President Trump. No, that's not what we're doing. I'm sorry. All right. Kidding aside, today's show is not the first show that I do dealing with people's personal health and their journeys, but it's the first time I do it with kids. Everybody's health issues are serious, and I try hard to be considerate of all my guests. I find myself feeling extra cautious today with two young people on my show. Maybe because I have two kids of my own, and I think of how I want them to be treated by others. Or maybe it's because I'm really just a kid in an older body. In any case, I want to start by thanking Avery and AJ for joining me today with their parents, Andrew and Jody. It means a lot, and it's appreciated. So, let's get started in studio. Just before we plunge in to the incredible and harrowing story that is behind the book called Bent But Not Broken, I want to do a little bit of levity stuff in case we don't have time later. So AJ, who's been helping me already on some technical stuff, is sitting next to me conveniently. He's put himself off camera, quasi, so that's good. You can jump into the camera if you want or jump out. It's totally up to you. But I want to play a quick game with you if you're okay with that, AJ.
Sure.
Okay. So it's called Help a Dad Out. So what you need to do is you need to help old parent types like me to be cool with their kids, okay? But with kids that secretly don't really want their parents to be too cool. So you actually want them to be even more like parenty. So not cool, but parents will think they're cool. You know what I mean?
Kind of.
Kind of, that's a good answer. Okay, I'm gonna give you a scenario. You tell me what the best answer is. Maybe if you've experienced this before, I have no idea. Your dad has no idea what I'm about to say. So let's pretend your dad's walking through the Cambridge Mall. He's with two of his work buddies. And then he spots a bunch of kids that he knows goes to your school, but he doesn't know if they're your friends or if they even know who you are. What do you want your dad to do? Three choices. Do you want your dad to ignore them and walk on? Do you want your dad to run up to them and dab spastically and then leave without saying anything? Or would you like your dad to loudly start saying to his buddies, "Yeah, so my son AJ is so cool and stuff," just as he walks by them? What's your choice? One, two, or three?
Two.
Two, so you want your dad to run up and dab spastically and leave without saying anything?
Yeah.
All right, that's...
It's the voice of an 11-year-old.
That's, and Andrew, that's... Give me that one more time, Andrew.
I can neither confirm nor deny that's happened in the past.
Okay, well, you know, I haven't read anything in the papers about some random dude doing that, but I wouldn't put it past you. This one I got... should I ask you this one, AJ, or should I ask Avery? It's about watching TV with your parents. Do you do a lot? Who watches more TV with your parents at the same time, Avery or you?
Dude watches hockey with them.
Yeah.
That can work. Okay, so let's pretend you're watching hockey. And may I call you dude, or is that just like what you call each other?
You can call him dude. That's his other name.
AJ. I just want to know if I could. So let's pretend you're watching TV, you're watching a hockey game with your parents, and then all of a sudden you get a text or a snap or some type of social media from a friend, hypothetically. You look at it and you laugh and then you start replying in a real excited fashion. So is that a possible scenario? Or is it completely hypothetical?
That's a more likely scenario for Avery.
Okay, so this is all fictional. This is all... So, how about this? So let's pretend it was Avery, but you get to pick her answer. Because we're going to talk a little bit more about her after. Okay, so Avery gets a snap or Insta?
Insta.
Okay, she looks at it, she starts laughing, and now she's replying in a real excited manner. What should her parents do? Ignore her and keep watching TV? or get their phone out, send a friend request to the friend so they can get in on the conversation, or should they just immediately send the post because they are already friends with that friend?
Ask what's funny, and I explain it.
What's that?
They ask what's funny, and then I explain it
to
them.
Isn't that what makes something really funny, when you have to explain it to other people?
I guess. Usually, then I get met with silence because they're like, but that's not even funny. I'm like, okay.
That's often how we feel about the teenage things on Insta.
Thanks, AJ. You educated me a little bit. Thanks, Avery. I'm going to keep this last one for later. This one was a PG, so I'm going to move along and get to why we're here. So we're sitting with, let's start with some introductions. I'm going to go to my far left. And yourself, you're the author. Give us a little bit, we'll go around, and then we'll come back and talk about the book.
I'm Andrew Butters. I'm born and raised just north of Toronto. Spent most of my life in Waterloo as a student, where I met my wife, Jody. Started writing about 10 years ago, but a few years ago started writing seriously. So when Avery's journey was happening and the blog was happening, I decided to put it down on paper because it felt like the right thing to do. I currently have a job as a project manager for a software company, and I have my first fiction books coming out at the end of the year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Good to be here. Avery, introduce yourself. And how do you fit into the story very round? So don't tell us the whole story.
My name is Avery Butters. I had scoliosis, and then I had surgery for that scoliosis. And because my mom and my dad wrote a book about it and a blog. It was a blog, and then it was a book.
Avery with a blog. Jody.
Hi.
And I'm just gonna, we're just going to pretend. No, we're not going to pretend. You're just going to work with me as I move stuff to get sound.
So
that's perfect.
Jody Wilkes Butter, mom to Avery and wife, and AJ, of course, and wife to Andrew. And this all started when we got the diagnosis, and I then, of course, went to find what to expect from a real life perspective, and kept finding either only medical perspectives or homeopathic options. So I thought, let's see if we can put down our own journey, and maybe that will help somebody in the future who is in the same spot. Plus, it gave us a point for us to just share our feelings as we were going through them, without necessarily having to talk about it, but you could capture it, and that could lead to conversations if we needed it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And of course, I don't want to forget you. So you thought I was going to let you get by. Just give us a quick intro, AJ. Who you are, and either your favorite hockey team or your favorite video game.
Hi, I'm Alexander Jaden Wilkes Butters. And my favorite baseball team is the Toronto Blue Jays.
Good pick. Good safe pick out here. Thank you. Thanks for coming on, AJ, and thanks for helping me with the technical stuff. I don't know where to start. I mean, honestly, before I forget, I do want to give a quick shout out to your publicist.
Creative Media.
Ogma Creative Media. The reason I wanted to bring it up is because that's why you guys are here, quite frankly, is we get a lot of press constantly. It's almost like a stream into the radio station's inbox. And I'm privileged to be able to see them. And it was a simple, clear email that said, hey, this book is coming out, Bent But Not Broken. I can't tell you specifically what that email did versus part of it was probably the simplicity, the fact that it was a local author and family. But that's kind of what led to this. So I want to mention that.
They're a family. They treat us like family.
Mm-hmm.
They took great care with the book when they were putting it together for us. We're very fortunate to have a publisher like Ogma who took the time and treated it like it was their book, their child.
Mm-hmm.
My hat goes off to them, and my experience with it's been fantastic.
That's great. And to kind of put this in perspective, you were an author, or you are an author before this happened.
I was a writer.
A writer, sorry.
With a short story published and some freelance work done and a blog that at least 12 people read.
That's a lot.
it does a little better than that, but it's a small. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was a right.
Right, but certainly what one of the things that's unique is it, I'm sure it was never in your wildest. One day I'm going to write a book about my family's journey, specifically my daughter's experiences with, in this case, scoliosis.
This wasn't on the radar until a year after the surgery.
Okay, right, that's right, because you did the blog, dealt with everything, and then sort of after the fact realized, hey.
And then we had a recovery period, and I wrote kind of the final blog post, if you will, commemorating 1 year to the day past when Avery first walked. The surgery, there was a period of time where she wasn't walking.
Right.
And then there was a day where she walked, like all the way.
I think it was January of 16?
2015. 23rd, I believe, was the day she got up and walked. So a year to the day from there, Avery and I went skiing at Chicopee. And home, there was this big, bright, full moon. I took a picture of it, and I wrote the last blog post, if you will. And it was at that moment, as I was kind of wrapping up, that I thought this could be more. And I like to write. It's my passion. It's the only thing I've ever felt compelled to do. So I just started writing. I kind of filled in the gaps where the blog didn't go, and added more of what was going through my head at the time, a little more behind the story to give people a sense of what Avery was like and how she got to be where she was. If you read the book, there's a couple humorous anecdotes in there I threw in. And then it became a book. There's a story to that, but that's not this story.
Okay, thank you. And so I'm hesitating as to where do I go next here. Do I want to talk to Jody or do I want to talk to Avery? I want to talk to Jody.
Yeah, we'll
there's a
here.
Solid bet one of Jody or I will cry.
One of the reasons I'm hesitating to make eye contact with Avery myself. So September 29th, 2014 is the date I've noted. That night was the first blog post.
Yes.
So 10:09. The internet's lovely that way. It sounds like I just know stuff, but
yeah.
I read it and then I printed it and I'm reading it. But can I read a small part of what you wrote?
Sure.
So this is the ending. This is literally the ending. So this is Jody, September 29th, 2014, 10:09 p.m. Okay, that is enough for the first post. I've invited both Avery and Andrew to post this blog as well. I mean, you never know what we may learn from one another this way. And I guess, obviously, there's a lot before that. You were talking about your experience and whatnot, but maybe as best you can, take us to that time and what was going on. How did we get where we are today?
So I'll do a quick recap of how we even got here, because I sometimes feel like I must have been a negligent mother. We had been on a cruise, so clearly wearing bathing suits and bikinis.
Mm-hmm.
And
Andrew as well?
Yes.
Obviously. Bathing suit, yeah. Yes. Okay, sorry.
And none of us noticed anything about Avery's back.
Okay.
And it was, I had already booked an appointment to take AJ in to see our family physician because he had a mole that he kept scratching at, and I thought I just should check and make sure in this day of skin cancer. Because I'm not a go to the doctor type person.
Okay.
So I bring AJ in, and the nurse says to me, "Oh, so when's the last time you were here?" And I said, "Oh, it must have been year and a half." And she said, "It's been almost 3 years." So I got a little scolding. And then when the doctor came in and saw that AJ was fine, I said, "Well, if I haven't been here for almost 3 years with AJ, that would probably be the same with Avery. Do you want me to make an appointment to bring her in?" And she said, "Jody, don't worry about it. If she's otherwise healthy, you know, like, you don't need to bring her in. But the one thing we'd look for in an otherwise healthy 11-year-old is just make sure her spine's straight. You can do that easy peasy at home. Just have her bend over and touch your toes and take a look, and you'll see, and we'll be fine." So half jokingly that night, I called her over and said, "Okay, pants, bend over, touch your toes," which A, she couldn't get close to. But it was very apparent at that moment that spine was not straight. And then I called Andrew over to make sure I wasn't just now imagining something that hadn't actually happened. And he said no. And I have pictures of that first spine picture because I couldn't quite believe it.
I didn't just say no, I made it worse, which is what I do a lot of the time when I speak. I think I said something like, whoa, that's not straight. Which, of course, Avery was like, now, you know, worried what's going on. And Jody's like, what did you say that for? I'm like, oh, I did it again.
So I booked the appointment with the doctor, got in to see her. She was like, I thought you were kidding. And she looked and was like, oh, my gosh, and we need to get you to your pediatrician, which conveniently Avery, when she was born, we lived in Cambridge, and we had a pediatrician when she was born. So we were back to the same pediatrician that had Avery when she was but an infant, who sent us immediately over to Cambridge Hospital for some x-rays. And we were back in to see the pediatrician a week later, who said, yeah, I've made you an appointment with an orthopedic surgeon, which was not at all what I was expecting. I think even then I thought, oh, no, I think you get a brace. I think that we physio or something. Like, I hadn't expected even right there to say we were going to see an orthopedic surgeon. And then we worked through, and that first appointment happened, and I didn't even attend that appointment, because even then I don't think we thought surgery was actually the reality of what we were going to be dealing with. So I had a work commitment I couldn't make a change. So Andrew went with Avery to this appointment where the surgeon said, no, this is surgery only. Like, this, there's no turning back on this. You're already past the window. And so when you think about a spine, you want it to be straight. And once you hit over 35 degrees...
It's 45, I think, is the magic number, 45 to 50.
45 is too far. 35 to 40, if you then put pressure on it, gravity actually will make it curve worse than straightening it. So you sort of have a window of up to that 35 degree where they might be able to fix it with bracing and physio, but anything after that, the bracing would actually make it worse faster.
Gotcha, okay.
So, and I remember I looked at the thing that I didn't go to this doctor's before ended up being a write-off, because I spent the whole time on my phone back and forth with Andrew, just feeling like the worst parent ever. So up to September was when we were starting then to see the surgeon, and the that first appointment was in May. So it was sort of March with our doctor, and then in to see the orthopedic surgeon in Hamilton in May. And we didn't end up so September, I think we still even then were like, so we're gonna have surgery, like, is surgery gonna be booked in the next couple weeks? And there's no answer. So the joy of the Canadian and Ontario health system, you don't have to pay. The downfall of the Ontario health system is there are so many parameters and rules around behind it that the doctors are, he told us that they can only schedule the surgery 10 times a year. So he can only do 10 of these a year, this surgeon, because of the amount of resources it takes from the hospital.
So specifically, it's a budget or it's a resource limitation.
It needs a specialized surgical suite,
okay,
surgical theater, in order to do it with a specialized team. I got to see the operating room when we took Avery, and we can get to that in a minute if you want me to cry. It was a team of people. I counted 10 people in the room just for pre-op like stuff. So
it's not a matter of there's only a need for 10 a year. It's like. And this is Ontario-wide or the hospital?
That's at McMaster. Surgeon.
Okay. So and there's only so many hospitals.
The McMaster opens up a surgical theater and says, we've given you one for January, one for February. Oh, you don't get one for March, and so on and so on. And they don't know a huge amount of time in advance.
Wow.
And right? It's also, he gets whatever. You get your X number of surgery days. And then he has to look at his surgery clients, which aren't just my daughter who has scoliosis, right? There's there's smaller back fusions. There's need to happen. They can do 20 of one surgery or one day of this. So it's also balancing out that roster and putting them priority and all that stuff. And now that I'm this far past it, I can speak about it in small while I'm having this conversation. At the time, I was not nearly as... about it. But we would go in all the time and ask, so okay, like expecting that we were going to get an answer on when the surgery was, and all we would get told is, no, she's right up on the top of his priority list, but yet. And then we wouldn't get anything more than that.
Right.
So come to September, and that was where we had now been in May, and then we were back again, have a date, but we knew it was happening. There was no other option on how we were getting past the scoliosis and not making it worse, that would affect her whole life.
September, what was the date? What was this time, the first day you went?
March 23rd was our first appointment of 2014.
So we're already talking about six, 7 months, that there's an 11-year-old girl here that's probably, I'm guessing, and that's you from 4 years ago. But there's probably, well, maybe you can tell me, Avery, what's an 11-year-old thinking while all this is going on?
I remember a lot of thinking that it wasn't going to happen.
At the surgery?
Yeah.
Okay.
That something was going to happen and then I wasn't going to have it. It was going to get better and it would all be fine. And I also remember a lot of thinking that having a spine that bent was a really cool thing that I could show people.
Yeah?
So, sort of like, this is awful and it's not going to happen. I'm just going to pretend that it's not something that's going to happen. And then a lot of, hey, it won't be so bad, maybe, if it does happen.
But you're not in pain. Like, had you not looked that day, obviously nobody... This was not impacting you externally at all. After you found out, did you notice anything? Like, were you not able to sleep some nights going, oh, I wonder if my spine's going to be too broken tomorrow, or are you just not like that?
No, there was nothing like that. I don't remember much of those months in between finding out I had to have surgery and actually getting the surgery, which is strange to think that I don't, like, it was a big monumental time that I don't remember a lot of. But I was reading over some of the blog posts I'd written, and a lot of them are very, I'm very upset in most of them.
Okay.
With what is happening and what is going to happen.
Okay.
I remember one where I wrote that I wished I could just be, I feel like I said 7. I can't remember, it might have been 8, but I wished I could have just stayed 7, and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there was none of this to worry about.
Yeah.
It was tough as a parent to read those because she didn't run them by us beforehand. We gave her free access to the blog. She's a smart young woman and knows how to work a computer, and we weren't going to censor her or force a conversation on her. We wanted it to be very free-flowing. So we got to read the blog posts when she posted them. And there was a couple that came through that just gutted me. And conversations we would have. Like, she was clearly terrified.
Sure.
Which is probably why you don't remember a lot of it, because the brain has a happy way of forgetting those things that are traumatic, thankfully. I remember I was trying to be the upbeat, it's going to be all right. You know, and think about it, when it's all said and done, you're going to have this really cool scar down your back. Wow.
Was that one of those good things he said?
That was terrible. There was so much crying.
I love it now.
Now it's different, right? It's a badge of honor now, she realizes. But at the time, I just basically, I just told my then 12-year-old daughter that she was going to be disfigured for the rest of her life. And that's a hard enough thing to hear for anybody, let alone someone at her age going through, you know, trying to become an adult.
And there's some good, like, we'd already been talking pre-scoliosis or anything about needing to do more things sort of as a family, and Andrew had an interest in yoga. And so one of the things that came out of this was Andrew and Avery started attending a local yoga studio whose focus is actually on rehab yoga. And when we were trying to find, because I'm like, there's a lot of yoga places out there, and I don't think they're all quite created equal. I'm not sure if we want you just walking into like the drop-in yoga studio. And it was interesting because when we found Breathe Into Motion, our family physician was actually one of the referral, like, testimonials on his website. And I was like, that's gives me some sense that this will be okay. So Avery and Andrew went, and they've done did several sessions. I went and did one, but yoga's just really not.
This was all after the surgery?
No,
before.
Leading up to the surgery.
Because one of the things that had been suggested is that you need a lot of core strength to help yourself heal. The better you've got that, the better if you're going to be. So going to yoga allowed Avery to help build and balance the muscles that were being affected by the scoliosis. It had some good wins. It also had some days that were really upsetting to Avery. She got awesome quad strength from doing all the squats and warrior poses, which helped immensely when she was recovering from the hospital. The nurses were all quite awed by her ability to just get up after she did the surgery, but she had such good core strength that she could just do it. She wasn't having to use so much of her arms and body to do that. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of, like I said, there's good and bad, but there was a day they were at yoga, and Yoga Mike would always have Avery work on her poor side that she had least flexibility on first, so she would know how far she should go on the other side. And you know, 1 week before she had been able to do something, and then they were there the next week and she couldn't do the same level of move. And so that was just those moments of where the scoliosis became evident in her life, that something had gotten worse, and now she couldn't do that thing she could do the week before.
So at some point, even without that fortuitous visit from AJ's mole, I'm sure you're going to appreciate hearing this for the rest of your life, but without that, at some point, this would have presented, I mean, it would have gotten worse enough that either you, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around the idea that this is going on and you're not actually aware of it because, of, A, you can't see your own spine.
It would have started.
And because she was an S, if you looked at her, and most times she's wearing clothes, she wasn't like sideways, where you see a lot of people with scoliosis, if they only have a C curve, well then clearly they're going to be bent like a C. But she had a nice, beautiful S, which meant the one curve balanced out the other one, so it just...
So unless you...
looked straight, but shorter, unless you could see her back, which was curved.
Which, of course, you wouldn't know you're shorter than you're supposed to be unless
I had a very short torso, now looking back on it. I mean, like, I'm looking at photos of me, and I'm like... That's really strange to see that.
But as, I mean, as parents, I mean, we've all, and even as kids, everybody grows up, or lots of people grow up with different parts of their bodies. Like, I mean, I think everybody had a friend that had legs that went forever, or had no neck, or, you know, and eventually, you know, some never rebalance, if you want to call it that. Like, there's, like, I think it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that's coming to mind. He's just got, like, his legs are probably 6 feet. Slight exaggeration. But, I mean, so I could see that that wouldn't cause any major alarm.
And by the time when she was having this, I feel like we would have seen it. Mm. But by the time surgery was coming around, her shoulder blade had started to wing out so that it was always out. Like,
it could always look like she was kind of reaching for something, even if her arm was out of sight.
But you didn't feel this? Like, you didn't?
No.
Really? I mean,
towards the end, I noticed it, but I wouldn't say I felt, like, I can notice it when I was lying down, sort of thing, that I would feel sort of a little off. And if I leaned against a wall, I couldn't lean flat against a wall.
Right.
I don't know if there's a picture of me before and after surgery up against a wall to see the height difference. And in the first one, the before, I'm trying to be flat against the wall, and my arm is going like this because of trying to get my shoulder blade flat against the wall made my arm go all wonky.
Is that in the book?
Yeah, pictures in the book. It's on the website too, bentbutnotbroken.net.
.net, yes. It's,
so people can see all those photos there. It would have started collapsing, like it moved her organs, right? And it would have started collapsing one of her lungs because it would have been squeezing on it.
Yeah, like this wasn't a static.
This wasn't like, going to be bent.
I mean, that's what I'm trying
it,
to...
It would it's, have it's caused a lot of internal damage.
And it could, because, and I want to get the message out, because I think, I'm sure it's important to you guys, but I guess I want to, hopefully you can do it succinctly, but, like, we have two girls that are 12 and 13. I've never heard of this check spine thing, so I don't know if we need to go
and... just go home and never touch their toes.
We will do that,
will
but the way you described it, including the way I read it, was almost as if this nurse tells everybody to do this, and your story is the first I've ever heard of anybody... So I guess, is this a message we want to tell everybody, and is it just for girls, and is it, what's the age group that you're doing?
So a lot of it's a check that I would suggest your doctors are doing with your kids, and you may not know. So you're taking your kids in, right, and they've got they're listening to their back, and they've bend over a little bit, they're probably checking and seeing, because I would suggest it's pretty obvious. But again, you could be like me, who only takes your kid to the doctor if they're sick. And I had kids who, like, their shots are up to date, we vaccinate, but they didn't have any reason to go to the doctor, so that's sort of how
you alleviated one of my major worries that I'm like, nobody knows about this. Everybody, check your backs.
And
but they are checking.
2% of girls will get it.
0.5% of boys.
Sorry, 0.5?
Yeah, 0.5.
So 2% girls, and what's the age this typically presents in?
Usually when they're growing. I mean, it can happen early, but I know personally know people who got scoliosis later in life as well. But it's that adolescent range. We feel the thought on Avery's is that she hit a growth spurt.
Okay.
And she might have fallen off her bike or fallen off the monkey bars or something and just kind of
got
something a little out of alignment, like something that I would just go see a chiropractor to address. Okay. But because she's a kid, she just keeps going and doesn't say anything to anyone. And then growth spurt and just got started off in the wrong direction.
So that's an important thing to point out too. This, hers was what they call idiopathic. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't born with it, because you can be born with scoliosis. There's a variety of birth issues there. But hers was, she did not have scoliosis until she did, probably when she was about 11.
For no known reason.
No known reason, and it just happened. And as Andrew's saying, it could be something as simple as she fell off her bike, hit a growth spurt the next day, things weren't quite right. And the trouble with growth is, if it starts growing off, it can't self-correct, right? So she just kept growing, and then it would push in the other direction. And
which is the idea for bracing, right? When they brace to fix, the idea is you force the spine into a growth pattern that's up instead of
in another direction. Issue sort of corrects.
And it corrects itself, but it's a horrible process. I know a friend of mine that I went to high school with, his daughter was braced.
Okay.
And it was 23 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
In a brace. And as a teenage girl, I was starting to wear on her.
Sure.
And then the option came, well, this isn't working the way we wanted to. Do you want surgery? And she, in a heartbeat, said, yep. And she had seen what Avery had went through our book. And I'm doing it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
I've had a friend that I used to work with tell me that if not for our blog, he wouldn't have checked his daughter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he did the check, and she's had the surgery not too long ago.
That's frightening, but it's eye-opening to say, okay, but it's a relatively simple check if it had not been done. And obviously, depending on what you find,
I think one of the big things we learned through all this was how fortunate we were.
Mm.
We live in a province that has good health care. We have something that happened, and it's devastating. So we tried to find the wins in all the situation, right? Every moment throughout it, we tried to focus on the fact that, okay, yeah, this is shitty. Sorry. This is bad.
It is.
But they can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an invasive surgery. 11 hours on a table, strapped to it so she doesn't move. 27 holes drilled into 14 vertebrae. 2 millimeters error is what they have when they drill a hole.
To cause death or blindness or paralysis or hearing loss, or the list is horrifying.
The papers you must have had to sign, these sit downs, must be almost
the doctor
as hard as anything else.
Dr. Masuna was really good.
Dr. Masuna is very confident in his ability to do his job, and I can only say that if you have to talk to a surgeon, you want one who is very confident.
Yeah.
They have the ability to do their job. They are not going to make a mistake, because it's not in their vocabulary to do so. And that's just not, it's not even an option for that to be an outcome. In his version, there is no way that surgery wasn't going to be successful. And as Andrew said, 27 pins, not 28. And that's because he looked at one of those vertebrae and thought, I can't put that in there safely, so we're just going to miss that one side of putting a pin in, because the risk of putting it in is too great.
Okay, so it's 14 and 13.
Yep.
So
yeah.
And now, again, Avery, and this, we're going back in time during this surgery. You mentioned 11 hours?
11 hours.
But are you awake? Now, you say you don't remember any of this.
She was out.
But you were out anyways, so you wouldn't remember. But what do you remember of anything from the surgery, if you want to talk?
Scrambled memories of before, like immediately before. Remember, we had to wake up really early because we had to get to the hospital before 8 o'clock.
Mm.
Before 6 o'clock.
Before six o'clock. 8, right?
Okay, and this was at McMaster.
At McMaster.
Okay.
So we had to wake up really early, which was annoying.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to like drink or eat anything.
Yep.
Okay, so you had to go in fasting.
Yep.
Yeah, this is already starting off as a pretty crappy day for an 11-year-old. You're like, what's next? You're going to start drilling into me? Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing.
They put some, like, numb stuff on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, like, it was for an IV or something, but I don't remember actually getting anything. That's where they put the numb stuff. Mm.
They did put a line into your hand. That was the before the anesthetic to make you
happy.
Put you at ease with the whole situation. I
Andrew and Jody have not had a talk about.
Well, I will tell drugs. You, we'll get her out of surgery in a minute, but going into surgery, that's. I asked her once, what did you. She said, I felt safe because there was all these people.
Yeah.
They were going to be taking care of me.
I got to wear my pajama pants.
Right.
Very stuffy.
Pinkie Pie went in with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bear.
Since AJ was born.
Yeah. Right on.
So they put her.
You didn't bring Pinkie Pie?
Today.
Not today.
I almost brought a stuffy. It's not about me.
Yeah, and then after surgery, I don't remember a lot. I remember like a couple of things in the hospital. I remember there was one day where I would try and sit up until my mom was there.
Yeah, okay. That made dad feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not good enough. Not even close to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which even with the yoga, it was a lot of effort to sit up. Like even after we'd got home, I had to have a chair beside my bed so I could help like leverage myself.
Okay.
To sit up about it. It's not something you think about sitting mm-hmm. up, but it's very hard.
If your spine system yeah. reconstructed.
But you just mentioned something about you wouldn't, she refused, outright mm-hmm. refused to sit up and do her physio. Throughout this whole experience, Avery never complained.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
She had outbursts, emotional outbursts, like with the blog, mm-hmm. which is fully expected
yeah.
under that. No point was there a woe is me. At no point was there a whine or a complaint that came out of this through the whole thing. Not, and it was then, looking back on, when I was writing the book, I noticed that and I was like, wow, like she was a lot stronger than I gave her credit for. I think we all were, but Avery especially. And I have to give a shout out to Dude who handled it like a champ, nerve attention for a long time. It would have been easy for him to feel forgotten, but he was a trooper, and everyone throughout it was just so strong, especially. So that's one thing I really want to make sure if there's anyone listening or reading the book, and that's an inscription that I put when I sign them, is you're stronger than you think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And trust in that.
That's very valuable. And in fact, gone ahead and published the book. I mean, the blog was public, but you guys were doing it for yourselves, and at any point, I suppose you could have made it private. Like, and I'm sure in the back of your mind, you were probably realizing, hey, look, 5 million people a day aren't coming on here. So I'm guessing you didn't, talking to the world, you felt like you were talking to yourselves or to.
Well, we also had a mom from Argentina reach out to say, thank you so much. My son's about to have the surgery.
Wow, okay.
And this has really helped me. And,
oh, great.
And Andrew and Avery were in touch with both of them right through surgery and his recovery, right? And we've had people reach out and we've had friends of friends who, you know, somehow they learn about either the book or before the blog would say, oh, somebody I know, their kid has scoliosis or, you know, and it's always those several arms away. But I already know there's probably been a dozen people. We wrote about, I posted a blog post after Avery had her surgery, she passed out in our kitchen and her babysitter from when she was in junior come to her rescue after she called both Andrew and I and neither of us picked up her phones.
Oh no. Is her first initial S?
Yes.
Okay, I know who it is.
Yeah, so.
Cool.
Avery managed to get in touch with her, and she, even with the kids she was babysitting, drove over to her house, got into her house, got Avery picked up, and and settled down.
Wow.
And so after we took Avery back to the hospital and made sure everything was fine, we went to the flower shop on the corner of our house that I had never been into because I wanted to just get a little token of appreciation. And the lady who sold us the flowers, her stepdaughter was having the surgery that morning at McMaster.
Wow.
Like, just...
Like,
so you never know where. And so I gave her the blog as well, and I said, here's some of the things that we learned right after off the fact. Like, we needed button-down shirts. Who would have thought? We needed button-down shirts, but you never think about how much you use your body to put a shirt on over your head.
I could not lift my arms.
At all?
Nope. I had a lot of trouble doing that. We had to get a whole wardrobe of just button-down shirts. I had
and
a
even that, were you able to kind of...
Yeah, she could get them in, because she...
Okay, because that's one side at a time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think all these
spaghetti,
things. Right?
Spaghetti strips, step into them and pull them up.
Okay.
It was, the recovery was, it was long. But as Jody said,
yeah.
You talk about it with people, and you out there, and we are so vocal about it, because you never know who is going to hear that and learn experience,
make
right?
a connection.
I got that email from Argentina. It was just like, I'm friends with the mom on Facebook now, and I follow the boy. Hello. Yeah, I follow him on Instagram. Like,
so there was never a question, because that's sort of when you were talking. Going back to when you were talking about how Avery, you know, never complained, and how people are stronger. All of you are stronger than you give yourselves credit for. But you kind of had a choice, I'm thinking, once this was kind of done, it's not, once the surgery was over, the recovery, at some point we could write a book, but at some point you could have also said, you know what, let's move on. And obviously, did that ever cross, you know, I don't want this book out, like, particularly you, Avery, did you ever feel like, you know what, I'd like to,
yeah.
So you just wanted, you're like, yeah,
no.
Let's do it.
Not once have I ever felt that having that stuff out there, having the blog out there, having any of it out there, has been a bad idea. There have been times where
awesome
I have been self-conscious about how open I was, how much emotion broadcast out there, how there are pictures of me out there for everyone to see.
Yeah.
But I also know that all of that stuff is going to help someone else.
It already has,
and
right?
It already has. Amazing that just by sharing the stuff that I've been through, I've been able to help others.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, it's really inspiring, obviously. It goes beyond, I think, you've got the help you can do with the people that have scoliosis, but it goes beyond to just greater and getting out of your own way, because that's honestly the biggest thing I see from the moment I saw you. It's almost like ego passed you by when it was spread out. Obvious, because I know lots of people that have enough for three or four people, so that's probably where yours went. And totally, I mean that as a compliment, Avery, or not even a compliment, it's just an observation. You seem to have a wisdom about you that is beyond, and I don't even think it has anything to do with your surgery. I almost get the impression you had that ahead of time.
Stacey always called me like an old soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what I hear, or what I don't hear, the absence of self-consciousness. I mean, self-consciousness is one thing, but an absence of ego is what I'm hearing from you talking. And it's incredible. It's such a gift. I think it's fantastic. I love it. I'm assuming part of you probably feels like, you know, if I said to you, I think you're very brave, you might go, well, whatever. I think what you're doing, maybe that might be a more, maybe you'll accept that one more. But, I mean, in relation to other people, okay? A lot of people wouldn't be doing everything maybe Dad was talking about, right? About complaining and whining. And, you know, I wouldn't blame anybody.
And that's okay.
Absolutely, right? But, anyways, I think it's fabulous. Can I ask you, Avery, now what's it like? It's been,
almost 3.5 years.
So,
3.5 in June.
What's it like today for you? You're not wearing a button-down shirt, so you're able to...
Everything's... Full range, but I can do sit-ups. They involve some, leveraging,
Yeah, you can't. You still get those things for school. You can't.
Andrew and I talk about that all the time, and she refuses to let
She won't.
She won't do burpees.
Okay.
And she can't do trampoline. But talk about...
Oh yeah, I went to... I did LITs last...
LITs, for those of us that
a
are...
A leader in training program.
Yes. Okay.
So the YMCA camps here, the KW, mm-hmm. they have... You're a camper, and then you do an LIT program, which takes up half a summer. It's 1 month that you're away, 28 days. And then you do a CIT, this is what I'm doing this summer, which is counselor in training.
Okay.
And then you're a counselor. There's a process to become a counselor. I did leader in training, and it involved portaging canoes. We did an out trip where we went for a couple days and canoed and camped. Because I had trouble portaging, I can do it, but it was not my forte.
That's not a lot of people aren't big portagers, trust me.
Part of it's where her spine's fused too, so right.
Yeah.
Where
okay.
So I didn't have a good resting spot for the canoe on my shoulders because of my spine. So instead, I carried packs. I ended up carrying a lot was the food pack, the freezer pack, full of frozen foods and meats and stuff that weighed. I would say at minimum 60 pounds.
Wow, okay.
And you carry that for a 5K portage. That was a surprise one. That was not part of the trip, but we had some whoopsies and some accidents that happened, so we ended up having to do a 5K portage.
Wow.
There was a 2.3 kilometer portage that I also carried that freezer pack on it. And I did all of that with, like, I took some Advil. Thing to help once close to the end when it had been raining for 2 days straight and half of the girls had hypothermia and we were eating soggy chips with dip on
yeah.
an island in the middle of nowhere. I had a little breakdown where I was not okay, and then I picked up the bag and we kept going.
Right.
And looking back on that, I'm so good in what I was able to do. So I can do things.
Yeah.
I can do pretty much anything.
Except trampoline.
I cannot trample. Uncomfortable doing burpees.
Okay.
Because I had an incident with them.
You're human, so you're uncomfortable doing burpees.
Yeah.
That's a rule.
Well, and most people don't like burpees anyways.
Yeah. And the trampoline is just...
I have no shock absorbers. Because, so you know how you've
mm-hmm.
got vertebrae and then the discs in between? When normal people jump, the spine like stretches and then can absorb the shock.
Okay.
I don't have... those, I can't do that, so when I jump, it's all pressure right on bone.
So if you were to even jump, like, not on the trampoline?
Well, she
okay.
plays volleyball with the Cambridge
yeah.
Scorpions.
Oh,
like,
okay.
She's...
Like, so you can, like, do full volleyball, like, throw yourself, get
yeah.
the,
yeah.
whatever the kids
yeah,
do.
She
yeah,
she slides on the floor.
And there's no chance of anything going, like, breaking...
Her,
you're not going to
so,
break? I guess not.
So to break a bone, you need a lot of force, especially
okay.
a bone as big as like a spine.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that.
Now reinforced.
Solid,
steel.
Now steel reinforced. It's actually
mm-hmm.
chrome cobalt,
ooh,
if
okay.
we're going to be technical.
Sure.
About
well,
it.
Yeah. So it's not magnetic?
It is not.
Okay,
Though she has beeped.
Got some prank,
she has
site.
Beeped going through the airport.
Okay.
Not all the time. So our last trip, she didn't beep at any airports. We just went to Florida, flew into.
I didn't beep at the airports, but I did beep at Universal Studios.
Every time we went.
Every time we went.
Yeah.
So they checked for something else. That
we just said, metal spine, and they went, oh, okay. So.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Our trip before that, she beeped at Toronto and in Miami.
Yeah.
So. Right? Mm. It's not 100% that she'll be put in an airport, but she does have a fair bit of metal in her, so enough that
some...
It's
not
non-ferrous, but if the sensitivity of the machine is high enough...
And
okay.
to say, she didn't get to go through the beeping line at Orlando on her way back anyway, they ended up putting her in the full body scanner, so...
Which doesn't, that must freak the people watching that out.
I'm sure they've seen it. Like,
really?
Those people, they look at thousands of those a day, right?
Yeah. Still...
The lady
yeah.
after me had metal in her neck when we went to the full body scanner.
We
wow.
sold her a book.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Boy. So what, we've got Avery 9 minutes, and I mentioned that because I'm keeping your songs. We had songs we wanted to play, but I'm going to play them for you guys. I'll let you know when. I'm going to put them on one of my other shows and
right.
and play them because I want to, but I want to... capture every moment I can with you guys. What do you want to talk about? Like, what do you I know one of the things you were hoping to do was be kind of a spokesperson for
Curvy Girls.
Curvy Girls. Okay, yeah, the name was escaping me. So this is a support group?
Yes.
How would you describe it?
Yeah, it's sort of a support group. They have information posted that you can access about. They have more stuff about bracing than they do about surgery, more because most of them are in braces, aside from having had
most people
surgery.
With scoliosis.
Yeah.
Okay.
The majority of people, there's more people who are wearing braces than people who are having the surgery. So most of the leaders, the spokespeople for Curvy Girls are in braces.
Okay.
And they do meetups where they will go and you'll get to talk about your experience, talk about what's happened. And there's some, they're everywhere. They're not always really close, but there are some in many places. Like they just started a group in, I believe it was Hong Kong.
Okay.
They're worldwide.
Yeah, okay. So they're worldwide, they're everywhere. And it's really cool what they do. And I wish I would have, I had been able to find it when I was going through my experience.
And obviously we, I probably should have mentioned 8 times that there's a book behind all this, and that's one of the things. And we have a giveaway to do before the end. Make sure we don't forget that. But Bent But Not Broken is the title of the book.
Yeah.
The author, his dad, is Andrew Butters. Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Does
if
that show up?
Yeah, that's good. We'll get some pictures of it up on the website. So Bent But Not Broken, Andrew Butters with Avery Butters and Jody Wilkes Butters. And the tagline, One Family's Scoliosis Journey. This obviously is, I guess, one of the key resources that you guys have to get out, to get information out. But the blog, bentbutnotbroken.net, is an ongoing, which you post to periodically.
Less so now, but there's a treasure trove of an archive
right.
for people there.
And what's it, how was it at school for you? I mean, you must have missed a ton of school back then.
Grade 7.
How is it now? Does this even come, does this impact your schooling at all? Do people care?
Only because your parents tell all your teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
gave my English teacher the book, so he, when I come into English class, he tells me, he's like, I'm enjoying it so far, we're halfway through, my wife likes it.
Okay.
I told her to walk in on the first day of English with the book and slap it down. I'd like an A, please.
There you go. Work that. Yeah, maybe save those for university. Don't use them all now.
Her English teacher actually said that before he knew about the surgery, he had made a comment to Jody and I about how he hadn't encountered a grade 9 that wrote with the maturity that she did.
Mm.
And we said, oh, that's probably because she went through this. And we showed him the pictures. And he was floored. And it is one of those things where I notice it as a parent, the maturity level of Avery. She aged prematurely.
Yeah.
And it was a little upsetting that she didn't get that time to just be 12.
Mm.
But, I mean, I look at her now, and it's only been a good thing for her. She's so mature and so calm and level-headed about everything.
Do you get embarrassed when Dad goes on about how awesome you are? Are you kind of like, he's right.
Yeah. No, it's difficult to say. I don't know. I'm not embarrassed about it, but I'm also sort of, to me, that's just me.
Right.
That's just what I'm doing. That's just what I did, and there's not anything special about it. I didn't do it on purpose. That was just the path I followed. I didn't choose to be really mature about it and not complain. It just never crossed my mind to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's strange because I at some points I'm like, I didn't realize that they thought I was so amazing until afterwards, until I didn't realize how what they thought about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head I'm still like, but that's not true. That was just me. There's not anything special about it.
There's lots very special about you. You are amazing. And I don't think it even has anything to do with the surgery. I think that's just one extra thing. But and I think that's what I'm hearing when I hear Dad too. I think he's talking about this journey, I guess, maybe gave you the opportunity to shine a light on it, is what one way I see it. And it's very mind-blowing, quite frankly. I will read the book. I can't begin to imagine. You know, as soon as I do, then I realize, okay, I'm imagining this, and I'm already floored. So I think, you know, experiencing it is a whole other thing, and it's incredible. And in particular, you're, you know, all four of you being willing to come on to talk about it like this, I think it makes a difference for people too, because there's, you know, as an author, there's a million and a half books that go out every day, and sometimes getting messages out is difficult. And just saying, buy my book, it's the best book ever, you know, or not resorting to, you know, too much hyperbole can be difficult. I think the authenticity and the reality of, hey, this is our life, we're choosing to share it, a part of our life, and, you know, this is going to help some people. I think that's fantastic. Should we draw the name? Well, not draw the name, because I did that already, because thank goodness I'd be flopping around now if I hadn't done it, and I knew I would. So I picked,
we'll
I got the name. So who should announce it?
I think Avery.
Yeah. Avery, of course.
Okay. And it's like two syllables, so that's good. So that's,
you can pronounce it.
Yeah, that's the name.
Oh,
do you know this person?
Yeah. That's my aunt.
Oh, well.
She's already got the book.
Mona B.
Okay, but see, this? Yeah.
Mona B. from Toronto.
Woo!
All right, Mona B.
Oh, that's too. Okay, well, I had no idea. So that shows how it's truly random. But even I was looking at the name, and I'm like, okay, is it Moan? Is it? So how do you say it?
Because she's Simona. Is her.
Okay. So. But that was her secret Facebook name that you just unveiled to the world, to the four people.
But they don't know
that follow my show. That's true. They don't know. We don't know which Toronto we were talking about.
That's Simona somewhere in Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto, Ontario, which could be Ontario, California. So, well, there you go. So she can maybe choose. She's already got the book, and maybe she has somebody that she would like to dedicate it to that you could personally sign and write something pretty to.
We have signed a book, and we have a minute left, and that would be a good opportunity to give us the other signed book, and this one's for you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for having us on your show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you to all of you. I'm scared to look inside. I don't know if I want to look at the inscription, because I have a feeling you put one in there.
I did. I believe it was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get too crazy with it. I did not try to make
you
cry.
We get to talk about tiaras.
Oh.
Tiaras. Well, that's okay. So we can do that. It is 1:30, so... But we're going to just slightly extend into the next show, so I'm just going to bring that down in case they try to start. And they will forgive me for going over a little bit. So
we don't want to get you in trouble.
Tiaras.
Would be the first
tiaras.
Time. Tiaras, yes.
Okay, so I had a really weird, strange dream one night that the day before I went to surgery, my whole class wore tiaras. And so I told my friend about it, and I was like, it was really weird. I don't know, like, they were just wearing tiaras and, like, support for me.
Okay.
And then my friend told the teacher. And the teacher made it happen.
Oh, my God.
And so my last day of school, before I went to have surgery, my whole class.
Boys and girls.
Everyone brought in little, like, plastic tiaras. You can get them at the dollar store. Or some of them had, like, fancy ones used for, like, costumes, like princess tiaras.
Uh-huh.
And one of my mom's work friends bought me a really, really nice one that was, like, metal and had, like, really pretty gems on it. And we all wore tiaras. And my teacher had, she's an art teacher, and she had some art classes that day. So she told all of her art classes about me and what I was going to do, and they made tiaras. So at the end of the day, there was most of the senior classes were wearing tiaras in support of me.
Oh.
And I got a picture of my class wearing tiaras, and it's one of my favorite pictures.
Wow.
That I have.
I later sent an email, because she's a big Vance Joy fan.
Mm-hmm.
I sent an email to Vance Joy's people with the story and
mm-hmm.
the tiaras, and I asked if he could get a picture of him in a tiara for her. And after the surgery, 5 or 6 months after the surgery, we got a letter in the mail. and I figured it was his publicist that just sent off something that was just sitting on the desk, signed photo or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We had Avery open it. I videotaped it. It's on YouTube. And not only did he send a signed picture, he sent a handwritten note.
Mm.
While he was on tour with Taylor Swift, this came straight from a tour stop in Edmonton.
Wow.
And he wrote a handwritten note saying that he couldn't get a picture with a tiara, but he drew himself a picture of him wearing one. He drew a little art. So Vance Joy.
Yeah, that's in the book as well.
Yeah. So the tiaras kind of came full circle. Taylor Swift didn't reply to my email, but Vance Joy did.
Vance Joy did. All right. Any final thoughts, Jody?
Just as Andrew said, people are a lot stronger than they think they are, and the opportunity to help even one person was what I wanted with this, and we've done that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andrew, Jody. AJ for helping on with the computer tech stuff, and especially Avery, thank you very much. Let's go out with Vance Joy's Fire in the Flood, especially for Avery. The book is Bent But Not Broken, When Families Scoliosis Journey, by Andrew Butters. Avery Butters and Jody Wilkes Butters on In Studio with Kevin. Thank you very much.